Welcome to the Whitetail Obsession Podcast with Dave Richmond and co-host Chris Worthing, where we talk and teach everything deer and turkey hunting related. Follow along as we help teach you tips and techniques about hunting, food plots, and habitat management strategies that everyone can use.
So what'd you do? Here's what I did. Here's what I did. Go ahead. Podcast 69, but I'm going to tell you what I did.
What'd you do?
I got new mower blades for the Craftsman mower.
I got something to tell you too.
Sharpened them babies up and installed them. And then the Clover Clipper Cub, I sharpened the blades on it, fired it up, ran it around the yard a little bit. Then yesterday changed the oil in the car and changed the oil in the big red M. I'm getting fired up.
I see.
I'm ready to clip some clover.
Yeah. I took out the my four-wheeler.
Yeah.
Because it kept overheating last year.
Yeah, what happened?
So I took it apart, looked at the radiator, because everything, the fan, it's got an electric fan and everything. Well, from mowing the wheat and the buckwheat and the pollen, everything, I had to take the front plastic shelving off the front, take it completely off to access the radiator sitting at an angle like this.
Okay.
And I had to get a pressure washer and blow through the radiator. I got some cleaner, foamed up. I blew it all out and it's perfectly clear now, but it was fully clogged with
it's all clogged up,
fully clogged up from riding through them high weeds and mowing all the time and all that. Just it clogged it up.
I see how that's possible.
Yep. Yeah. So I did that and I brought out the Swisher mower. Mm-hmm. I sharpened the blades and changed the oil and I fixed another weld joint.
Nice.
That cracked. Again, for like the 19,000th time.
So that's a thorn in your side.
It is, but it works good.
It is pretty cool. I use it. That one time you left it here, I used it over at the mother-in-law's. It worked pretty nice. I liked it.
It mows clean cut. It's a finish mower. It's a finish cut mower. So it mows very well.
Yeah.
It's just poorly built.
Yeah.
But I'll keep it till I burn the thing in the ground. So
right.
We'll go. That's just, it is what it is.
What you got?
So podcast 69, we're going to talk about on multiple different ways to ruin your deer hunting property. Now, I want to put this disclaimer in there. This is for when we say ruin your deer hunting property, what does that mean? And I want to say that if you don't care about what type of deer that you shoot, this probably doesn't pertain to you.
Right.
You could probably answer it too, but we're not necessarily trophy hunters, but we still want to be able to manage or at least protect as best as we can the mature bucks to have a chance to shoot them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to shoot a small buck. I'm past that point in my life, in my hunting career. I want to go after the bigger bucks. It doesn't have to be a 200-inch deer. You could do whatever you want on your hunting property and you could probably still shoot spikes and four pointers and does and little things like that. But we're going to discuss here, just so everybody understands, is that these things that we're going to discuss can ruin the chances of shooting a mature buck, because mature bucks are totally different than any other whitetail. Mm-hmm. Mature, they get spooky, they're spooked and they get jittery and they'll just go somewhere else, be nocturnal somewhere or whatever it is. So that's mainly what we're pertaining to, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
So I wrote down
what do you got?
Six things already.
Okay. Didn't write nothing down. I'm just gonna
ad lib.
I'm eating a lot of fish ladies, so I got a lot of omega 3 in me.
Oh, and nice.
My brain is on point.
Well, I took some D3.
There you go. So you shouldn't be as forgetful then.
Well, I always am, but
all right. Right. Well, what's your number one?
All right, let's start off. I want to start.
What do you got?
Some things that will ruin your hunting spot.
What's number one?
Okay. I want to start off with trail cameras.
Mm.
Okay. And you're saying, what's that have to do with anything? Well, some of these trail cameras still have a white light that shines.
Red.
And that tends to spook them, you know.
It does. It can.
You know, they can get spooky and wary, W-A-R-Y, wary. I can't say it.
Say that five times.
The cameras. Yeah. They get wary to the camera, mm-hmm. you know. And also, like, going in and checking trail cameras all the time. You mm-hmm. know, getting your SD cards out of them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's some things. And we had that podcast before where you talked about the clicking sound.
Well, I made the YouTube video about it, and people were saying it has no effect, 50% of it, and 50% saying 100% correct. So I agree with you. Trail cameras, depends how you use them.
Yeah.
But I think it depending how you use them, I think it can definitely have a negative impact.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what's your trail camera smell like? You go in, every time you go in, you deposit scent somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, mm-hmm. it could be on your trail camera from your hands, or, you know, the strap could suck up some stink, you know, and you strap it to a tree or whatever. You know, trail cameras, you got to pay attention to how you're using them.
Mm-hmm. You know what I noticed too is that the straps that you use to put them on the tree, mm-hmm. sometimes they get wet, and you store them away for the winter or whatever, and then you put them back out, they get that moldy smell on them.
Yeah.
I have noted whether that is that a big impact. I don't know, but
those things must not be nylon.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I've had numerous, like you're saying, mold or actually deteriorate so bad that it looks like a mouse was chewing on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would just literally fall apart. I don't know what they're made of, but it can't be real nylon.
What I did last year was I took a tote and I threw all my straps in there, and I mixed in a LimaShield laundry detergent.
Yeah.
And warm water, just swished it around, and then I hung them out in the sun just to let them dry.
Look at you thinking ahead.
Thinking ahead. That's what I did last year.
Preparation. Yep.
I'll probably do that the same this year, but is that overkill? I don't know, but they stunk. So I just was like,
well,
I don't want them
taking care of business.
Yeah. I don't want them stinking.
Right. Right.
So I guess top of my head, number one would be, and especially I see this a lot on clients' properties too, is the overuse of ATVs.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I made one video about this on my YouTube channel probably 6 years ago. About ATVs, and it went crazy. Like, it's over like a couple hundred thousand views on it. But I say the overuse meaning I hunted a property. It was 275 acres a long time ago, and it was a club, and there was four members. I was the only one that would walk to my stands, the only one, and they were pretty far. Well, everybody else kind of had, you know, their chunk of the property off to the east. I was hunting mainly like the south side or whatever. And I saw all the deer. Like, I had literally seen all the deer. And every morning that I would go there and the guys were there, boom, boom, cranking up the four-wheelers in the morning, driving through the woods, and there was ditches that you had to go through. And I could hear the guys getting to the ditches. Burr! You know, going through the ditches up the hill.
Yeah.
And headlights. And they never saw any deer. And I started shooting the mature bucks and everything. And then everybody was getting mad at me. So the overuse of it, like, I mean, obviously, if you have a disability, you got to do what you got to do to get to the stand. But ideal situation, you need to walk in a non-deer area as quiet as possible, away from bedding areas, away from food sources, not ride your ATV during the hunting season. Now, you know, I think in the off season, you should be able to do whatever you want, really. I mean, obviously, you don't want to purposely go through like known thickets, bedding areas, whatever it is. But I think the overuse of it can really hurt you.
Now you did it.
What?
Now you're going to get the bear guides mad at you because they're going to say that we ride our ATVs in and we bait the barrels and they come while the bike's still running and while we're
baiting. Now I can agree to that.
Yeah, to a certain point. Yep.
Yeah, so some, I know guys. Some
critters will get used to it, I guess.
I know guys from in Kentucky, especially the outfitter that I'm going to the end of May for a client visit. What they do is they'll drive to the feeder, and they will leave the buggy running, fill the feeder, and leave. And then 3 minutes later, they get pictures, trail camera pictures of deer hitting the feeder. And there's a sense to that. You know, the deer associate that.
Yeah.
You know, they can get used to it. So, like I said, the overuse, and there's always, no matter what it is or what you do, there's always give and take in it. It's nothing's ever absolute.
Right.
Just something to pay attention to.
Yep. Okay. How about while you're on stand, guys that are over calling, grunting, rattling, you know, snort, wheezing, you know, every deer they see, they try to grunt in or rattle in, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, I understand people say, oh, well, you got to make something happen. You know, I get that. Sometimes you do have to do that, but overdoing it isn't helping.
Yeah. I remember a clip from Roger Ragland video long time ago. And he had, like, when he used to do questions, like listener submitted or viewer submitted questions.
Great.
And somebody asked, well, Roger, you know, I had this buck or something, and he was walking in the opposite way, and I wasn't sure if I should call or not. And Roger's response was classic, you know, classic Roger. But he's like, if he's going the opposite way, do something, you know, right. Shoot, like rattle, grunt, snort, wheeze, yell at him, tell him to come here or whatever. But if he's going the opposite way and it's a deer that you want to shoot, do something.
Yep.
But if the deer, I've been with guys too, where the deer's walking to them and they're making noises.
Mm-hmm.
He's already coming to you. Like, why let him do what he's going to do?
Yeah.
I used to call years ago, like long time ago, and I burned it out. I used to grunt, rat. I did everything, and I burned spots out by doing that.
This goes for turkeys too. How about the guys that go out a week or two before, say they're scouting and they're out there calling birds in a week or two before the season even starts?
You don't want to do it.
They get onto that quick,
especially in high pressure areas. They will catch on to it very quickly.
Like, I don't like using decoys in Pennsylvania. Not in my area. They come in and see a decoy, they lock up.
Yep.
They lock up and freeze, and they hang up out there 50, 60, 70 yards. And when they notice that thing ain't moving, they just turn around and walk away uninterested.
Yes. Yeah, the turkey calling, that's a big one. Not
100%,
too.
But
yeah,
a lot of them do.
High-pressure areas. I know when I hunted Kentucky, turkey calling, them birds, they didn't care. Like, you call, they come right to you on a string.
Man, I would love to have birds like that here.
That turkey I shot there a couple years ago with Jeff out there, we shot two gobblers that were 15 minutes apart, and we called them from hundreds of yards away, and they came in right to this decoy, fired up, and he shot his first, and we heard another one gobble. We started calling again, came right to the same exact trail path, same exact footsteps, right to the decoy. If that was Pennsylvania, where I go, never happened.
No, I've never had that happen. No, never.
Never happened.
What else you got?
What else you got?
What else I got? How about people spotlighting their, checking their plots every night, and, you know, in their fields where they hunt. They go spotlighting. And yeah, I mean, sometimes it doesn't bother a deer, and other times you hit them with a spotlight and they bolt, gone, you know. And this one area out here where I live, this one road's notorious for spotlighting, you know. In fact, the game warden used to sit out there in the dark and just wait for spotters to do something dumb, and then he would bust them. But, yeah, you know, they either get used to it or they never get used to it, one or the other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you can run them out of there.
In Maryland, we can't spotlight.
They're spotting in Maryland, huh?
No. So just, I guess maybe you can explain, but Pennsylvania, there's a certain time, right?
That
you
can do it 11 p.m.
Now, does it have to be, can it be, I mean, you can't just go around spotlighting anybody's property, right? Or does it have to be yours?
No, you can go around. Yeah. I mean, to a certain point, you can spotlight anywhere you want. I mean, as long as like, you're not hitting their houses, their garages, their cars.
Well, you can ride by a farmer's field and you can spotlight it legally.
Yeah, you can actually. Yeah. Yeah. Great. You actually can, yeah, you know, and they don't all like that.
Yeah.
You're spotting
like
their cows and cat, you know, they have livestock out or whatever, you know, they're not, farmers aren't crazy about you spotting their mm-hmm. farm, but like their fields, they don't necessarily have anything to say about that. Because farmers think all deer are rats,
mm-hmm.
and they would love you to come on their property and kill them all if they was that type of folk, you know, mm-hmm. to let you on their property, first of all. But that's getting harder and harder to get permission to go hunting.
It is, yeah.
You know, but that's how I met my father-in-law, believe it or not. I was out spotlighting, and he basically said, do you like to hunt? And I was like, yeah, I love to hunt. And he's like, well, you can hunt here if you'd like. And his next statement out of his mouth was, you can hunt here as long as you kill everything that moves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, legally I can't do that, but I can sure help you out with the tags that I have. He's like, good deal. Got any friends? he just wanted deer taken out.
Mm-hmm. That's how it was for me when I was growing up.
I watched.
You know, just started driving and stuff. It was easy. Farmers wanted the deer killed, and I got a lot of permission properties that way.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no one wants you there.
Nope.
And they still claim, oh, it's a liability. No, it's not. You can get anything legally written up, and the person could sign it, some kind of waiver, and that would take them out of any legalities,
mm-hmm.
you know. You can do that stuff nowadays, you know.
I got one.
What you got?
And it's very simple. Stay out of your property. Mm. I can't tell you how many times, perfect example, that first client visit you went with me on.
Mm-hmm.
That dude wouldn't stay out of his property.
Right.
You like checking your food plot every single day, going into the woods, checking this, checking that, checking your trail camera. Dude, you got to stay out of your property.
Mm-hmm.
Stay out. If you want to shed hunt, go shed hunt, you know, set your cameras up, get it ready for turkey season. But if you're constantly going in your property, whether you spook a single doe or, you know, a single buck, whatever, those deer don't want to see humans. They don't want to have pressure on them. It's the biggest downfall to a property. Like, you got to stay out. Now, when you start hunting, like, I've even became more cautious of hunting season. Now, I don't hunt like one property like I used to. I'll pick and choose days to hunt it, like the farm in Western PA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even want to hunt it all the time, because I'm trying to let them do their thing, and then when the time is right, I go in and try to shoot something. But you got to stay out. I get, you know, some clients, they'll send me pictures every single day. Hey, I'm checking it. There's no need to check your food. If you plant a food plot and it's starting to grow, there's literally no reason to check it the very next day. you know it's growing. Just let it grow.
Yeah.
Really, I know cool. I know it's cool. You're excited to check this and check that, but people do more harm than good. You gotta stay out. Have to.
Okay. Well, let me add to that before I go on to the next one. But I'll add these people that take their kids and their dogs with them to check the cameras. Mm-hmm. And the kids are over there, Dad, I gotta pee, you know, so they're peeing there, whatever. The dog's over there taking a dump in the plot, you know, and that dog stinks differently than all the other animals in that area, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, every time you go in, you leave a certain amount of a footprint or a smell behind, you mm-hmm. know.
And now, let's just clarify that so we don't make anybody upset that's listening. Obviously, you want to have father, son, time, and dog, yeah. and all that. But just know, obviously, you can do whatever you want on your property.
The more intrusion you put in pressure on that place.
Yes. We're not saying don't do it, right. but just realize the more you do it could have a negative impact.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have family time and all that.
I get upset because the neighbors, they claim, oh, we got shock collars on our dogs. Really? Why are they over here running around in my food plot, sniffing around it? You know, that upsets mm-hmm. me, you know. Keep your animals on your property.
Yeah.
And don't let your animals go to the neighbor's property.
Yeah, I hate free roaming dogs that mm-hmm. the owner doesn't keep them contained. That burns me up more than anything.
I've had trail cameras down here below my house, which the people had no business trespassing down. Well, I'm getting off the beaten path here, but they had no business being over here, first of all. And then they had two brown lab dogs over here running around in my plot taking a dump, you know. And yeah, I was upset. And I showed the trail cameras to the neighbors and stuff. And I was like, who is this person? And somebody identified them. And I've never seen the people again. I think they sold their camp and it changed hands or something. But
taking a dump in your food plot, huh?
Oh, yeah. At first, I thought I had bear scat. No, checked my trail camera. It was a couple black. One was a black lab and one was a chocolate lab. They was pooing in the, you know. And what do you think? You know, I don't know that it would spook a deer, but they would sure like be like, "Whoa, what's this?" You know. So yeah, I mean, anyhow, hey,
deer. They don't want to see us. They don't want to see us riding on four wheelers. They don't want to see us hunting in a tree.
Yeah.
The more that you bother them, the more of a impact it's going to have.
Yeah. They could avoid the area.
Right. Board it and go somewhere else.
I mean, if they don't like the smells and the sights where they're headed, they'll just head somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go to the neighbor's property.
I got two more.
Okay. Let me get one out. Okay. How about, now this is controversial. I mean, I don't mean like controversial. I mean, it's controversial how you take it.
Who you going to make mad?
Nah, this is too many mock scrapes or too many mineral sites or too many water holes, too many hemp ropes hanging or vines or something. You know, people go a little hog wild on this crap. They see it on these YouTube channels or on television and they think more is better,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I, to be honest, I want to put one of those things near my stand so that if an animal is going to use it, I'm able to see it and shoot from that location to that area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want multiples all down the fence row or whatever, because if they decide to skirt me and go to another scrape, that's going to upset me. I want the scrape or the vine or whatever 20 yards from my stand where I can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how you take that, that's just my thought.
Yeah, I can agree to it. You can do too much, and then you do all these attractions and then it's like, okay, well, I can't even get around my property because there's so many deer everywhere, or there's no definition of movement because there all these attractions are scattered out.
Right.
So it becomes a little bit difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one. is scents, deer scents.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, you ever go to like this one this one public land I go to? I go find a good spot, right? And you hunters, most hunters think alike or whatever. They see it on aerial photo or something. And I go to a spot and I'm like, man, this looks like a really good spot. And I get there. It's like, I look around in the trees and I see all these bow hangers hanging from the trees that was yep. left behind. I look down on the ground and there's a million different cans of buck bombs and tinks bottles and this and this and this. And it's funny, but on private land, I used to be years ago, I used to be huge on deer scents. And it got to a point where the deer associated these scents with danger.
Danger.
Because I was using so much of it that it started to spook them.
Yeah.
And when I got rid of the scents, I started having my success came back. And people were thinking, well, how the heck can this spook deer? Because deer pee all the time. Well, nothing, no scent that you can buy is as good as right out of the deer's bladder.
Right, right.
You know, you got this scent that smells like pure ammonia and everything. And it's different because this guy I talked to on the phone years ago explained it to me and it makes sense. Like, obviously, let's say for instance, in Pennsylvania, there's not anybody that eats asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in Pennsylvania eats asparagus. But in Maryland, we all eat asparagus. Okay. So if I eat asparagus and I pee in a bottle and I ship it to Pennsylvania and they put it out in the woods, right? Deer are not familiar with that asparagus smell. If deer, you are what you eat. So if you're eating certain things in a certain area and then you get this pee that you buy that was all the way 10 states away and they ship it to you in Pennsylvania, it's going to smell different because the deer are eating something different.
Yes. You know? And I have a real life experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mention the name, but I had a deer farmer that was local and I wanted to try his deer pee. Well, I went over and saw the herd and it was time to feed them. So he started bringing out all these boxes, was putting food out. And I was looking and I became real hesitant to use the deer pee after this. And you'll see why.
He was feeding them cupcakes.
He was feeding them all the leftover produce from the local supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not stuff that they would naturally get in a natural woods environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was lettuce. It was grapes. You know, I mean, you know, and yeah, they would eat it. But it's not something that was natural to the woods, you know. And someone might hear that and be like, ah, that don't matter. Oh, in my opinion, I think it does.
Well, eat asparagus.
Kind of like you just explained with the asparagus.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not,
it's something different. That's not natural.
Now, even when you go to let's say you live in Pennsylvania and you go to a deer farm, like you just explained, the pee's coming from a deer farm. Mm-hmm. So the deer are being fed these pellets, you know, and very little, any kind of natural food, you know, pellets, and they're feeding mineral a little bit and this. That's not that pee is going to smell different. Then by the time it becomes bottled and it's processed and it's sitting outside in the heat, unless it's frozen or whatever it is. But then even when it's frozen, you're changing the chemistry. It's like nothing is as good as right out of the deer's bladder. Yeah. And it's those deer that are living with each other. They're all eating the same thing. So it's all going to basically smell the same.
Well, I'm not a big urine guy anyhow, to be honest.
I'm not a, I still use it, but yeah, it's not something that, it's not a primary focus.
No, it's not. And one of the reasons why is, and we've been over this before, but I'm going to rehash a small portion of it, is this stuff sits, you know, on a counter somewhere or hangs in a pro shop somewhere, and it's under light in heated conditions. And someone will say, well, yeah, but the bottle's sealed. Well, was it vacuum sealed? Because if not, there's oxygen in that bottle deteriorating that pee, you know? So, you know, urine that I use, I try to keep in the refrigerator, and I don't like crack it open and sniff it all the time or check the color of it and stuff like that. When I get it, I just throw it straight in the fridge and until I'm ready to use it. You know, I try to not give it air, basically. And one of the other things that I have an issue with is using the scent drippers, because that thing hangs in a tree and it's heat activated, which means it has to warm up to be able to drip from that bladder. And so that's deteriorating the urine in that drip bag. And if you don't believe me, wait till you empty one of them drip bags and open it up and look in it. It's all crystallization and nasty inside, you know. That's from it heating up and deteriorating, you know, and it just gets ugly inside of there.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't use them.
Some areas scents may work great.
Yeah. Some people might have success with a scent dripper. Right. I'll probably get hate mail for that, but
not saying it's never going to work or it's never, you know.
But I just have an issue with it personally, because I'm thinking, man, you're paying $18 for that 2 ounce bottle and you're putting it in that dispenser and it's going to heat up and sit there for a couple of days and get warm and exposed to the air. And I don't know. Is it worth anything by the time it hits the dirt? Does it smell like deer urine at all? Or does it just smell like ammonia?
Some people would say, if a deer pees in the woods, it's going to turn to ammonia smell anyway.
It will. And
that is true.
Yeah.
But that's coming right out of the deer.
Yeah.
Naturally, it's going to break down. When you buy urine, that's who knows
it's been what the sitting around for how long?
Who knows what the handler is doing with it?
Yeah.
And it's sitting there. It's already becoming rotten and warm. It's heated. Mm-hmm. It smells like ammonia. You pour that out of there. Most of it smells rotten.
If you study it out, how a deer identifies things, they identify things of what that smell and how long it's been there. How long is that smell fresh, or has that smell been there and deteriorated? You know, that's one of the ways that they smell, you know. And if they're going to get spooked by something, it's because they thought something was just there. They just smelled it or something, you know what I'm saying? Like that's how they communicate with the inner digital. When they stomp the hoof, you know, and they stomp that hoof and they put that nasty inner digital out, the alarm smell, you know, and the next deer that walks by, if it's within a short time limit, they'll come by and sniff that and perk up like, hey, what's wrong here? I smell this. And this wasn't too long ago, you know, but eventually that's going to wear away, you know, urine does. The urine is there for so long and then deteriorates and gone.
You know what I think the biggest danger is in all this is the association. So, okay. So you're a bow hunter. You're in the tree. Before you get into the tree, you're putting out a scent wick of whatever scent you're using. You put it out 20 yards. You get in your tree. A deer comes in. He smells it. He knows that it's deer urine, but it smells a little bit off because it's rotten. It's got a heavy ammonia smell. He knows something's up because when you put that scent out there, what do the deer do? They come in. They're sticking their neck out. They're single stepping or whatever. Okay, let's say that deer that comes in has three other deer with them. Okay. You draw your bow back. Let's say you shoot the doe. Okay. Well, now those other two deer or three deer are exposed to that noise, you in the tree, the arrow hitting the ground, and its buddy being shot.
Yep.
Okay. The next time those two or three deer goes to the other side of the property, another bow hunter over there with a scent wick, they smell the same thing. And it's like, okay, this scent's familiar. But last time I smelled this similar smell,
Judy got shot.
We heard a noise. We heard a noise in the tree, a weird noise. And it's just a domino effect throughout your property.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, deer aren't that smart. Well, they are, because how many times does a deer go to an area, and without you even making a move, that deer just goes boop and looks right up at you. It's because they see hunters in the tree, and they're familiar with the shapes and the gadgets that you have up there, and they've familiarized themselves with this stuff. That's how they have to survive, you know. So that, I think that is the association between that. And they learn that, and that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
You could go back to the old, I can't remember if it was Raglan or Fitzgerald videos, when they used to put the dummy up in the tree stand all year.
That was Raglan.
They dressed it up and put the dummy in the tree, and then he was the dummy the one day holding the bow, and he would shoot something.
Yep, that was Raglan. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yep.
That could work.
I got one more.
Go for it.
Make it a quick one. Is just basically entry and exit routes to your property. Yeah. You know, if you're walking through the center of your property, or you're walking, you know, through a food plot to get to the other side, that's no good. If you're walking near bedding areas, because this whole craze on bedding on small properties these days, people are cutting all these trees, making bedding, and then they can't maneuver around their property and they're spooking deer. Or hunting food plots, and they're climbing out of their tree, blowing the deer off the plots. I mean, how many times you talk about it all the time is you sitting in the tree for an extra hour in the dark in the afternoon, waiting for the deer to disperse out.
Yeah. I have to do that,
but you have to pay attention to all that, mm-hmm. you know? And again, Don't listen to us if you're just wanting to shoot a doe or a spike or something, or you just don't care. That's your personal preference. This is just for people that kind of take it a little bit more serious, I guess, and they want to preserve their land and have less hunting pressure, and maybe, and just think too, and we'll wrap it up. You know, if you're doing all these potentially negative things, and you got this, say you're trying to hunt these big bucks on your property, well, if you continue to do all these negative things, there's a higher likelihood of that mature buck getting spooked off your land and the neighbor shooting it. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to grow these deer, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is, you know, and you're constantly blowing them off your land. They're never going to reach their potential because you're blowing them off and the neighbors are shooting them.
Yeah.
So to fully protect your area, if it's large enough, you need to stay out of there and hunt it very, very precisely. And then you start getting into, okay, I can physically grow these deer to the next age class.
Yeah.
So you just have to look at it as a whole and look at all these things as a potential danger.
Or you can get into shooting a deer in the food plot and dragging it through the food plot, or gutting it right there in the food plot, or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different things you could avoid,
mm-hmm.
you know,
you just don't want to be, you don't want to be known that you're there. You don't want to let the deer know that you're there.
Be the less stealthy.
The less you can do that, the better off you're going to be.
I think we better cut this one off.
Yep. Podcast 69. I'm wore out.
Okay.
Nobody hate us for it. It's just something to look at. What are you doing?
Do you hear that?
No, what
is it? That is thunder.
Oh, wow.
Woo, it got dark out and it's thundering like crazy. I thought maybe you could hear it.
No.
Okay. Episode 69. We'll see you on 70. See you
later.